You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
I'm Andy Borowitz in for Leonard Lopate. For seven seasons on Saturday Night Live, Kristen Wiig entertained us with characters like Target Lady and Sue, a woman who really, really loves surprises. She also wrote and starred in the Oscar-nominated hit movie Bridesmaids. Now she's taking a break from comedy to star in her first dramatic role in the film Hateship Loveship, directed by Liza Johnson. The screenplay is adapted from Alice Munro's 2001 short story, Hateship, Friendship, Courtship, Loveship, Marriage. And the film opens tomorrow at the IFC Center. And I'm so excited to welcome Kristen Wiig and Liza Johnson to the show. Thanks for coming
in.
Hey,
thanks for having us. This is my serious radio voice.
Is that your serious?
Now that I'm not
You're taking a break from comedy.
Yes, I'm going to be very serious.
Have you, you know, I was wondering about that. You know, I did say you're taking a break from comedy. Of course, this movie is funny. Like, there's a lot of funny stuff in it. It's not, like, all of Alice Munro's writing. It's not this very kind of serious dirge, funereal dirge. It's got a lot of humanity and funny moments in it. Are you finding yourself fielding a lot of questions about being a serious dramatic actor as opposed to, because there isn't just one, it's not one or the other. It's not like an on-off switch, right?
No, it's I mean, I understand that people know me from comedy, so they will talk about it being a switch. But for me, I would love to be able to do both and have the opportunity to do both. And I think, I mean, coming from SNL, people probably expect it to be maybe more of a funnier turn.
Is it sort of an American thing to sort of pigeonhole people, performers, and say, like, you know, because I'm thinking, like, somebody like Judi Dench, she plays funny parts and she plays serious roles, and people never say, Dame Judi Dench, what's it like being in,
You should ask her that.
I should. Well, she's waiting right outside. I don't know. Like, do you find in the business that you get, that you run this risk of being pigeonholed? And Liza, too, as a director, is it a tricky thing of, like, well, there's only a certain kind of, you know, a very narrow band of films in which you'll be considered.
Well, you know, to me, I think comedy, we love it because it's funny, but also it is meaningful, you know,
right.
And the body of work that Kristen has done, I know I love it, and I think other people love it because it actually, it's hilarious, but it does mean something, you know, and I also like how you put it, like, people take Alice Munro super seriously.
She's very funny.
But she is. She has a wicked, dry sense of humor. And I think everyday life has humor in it. And so it's, you know, drama can have moments of lightness and warmth.
And for that matter, it feels like Bridesmaids to me is still one of my favorite comedies of all time.
Oh, thank you.
Your role in it was not, you were not the wackiest person in Bridesmaids by a long stretch. I mean, it seems like Melissa McCarthy got a lot of the really sort of broad comedy. And you played the romantic storyline very straight, very realistically.
Yeah.
You're just nodding your head in agreement.
I can't nod on the radio?
No, you have to say.
They don't have a sound effect?
She nodded thoughtfully.
Yes, okay.
But no,
I mean, I like movies that have both, and I think that if you're seeing someone struggling a little bit, when they do something that may be funny, it can affect you a little bit more. I don't know, I like the combination of the two things. And I'm a really sad person.
Are you sad?
So when I, you know, do comedy, that's probably what
you're seeing. That's what you're plumbing. You're plumbing those depths. How did this movie come together? What was the origin of it? The story is written in 2002 or something like that.
I think what happened is the screenwriter and one of our producers, Dylan Sellers, happened to both be reading the book at the same time, and they both were really moved by it. And so they started developing the script, and then sometime later, Mark brought the script to me, and when we talked about that character a little bit, I thought of Kristen, not because it's in a very different register than some of Kristen's best-known work, but I think that there's a kind of soulful core to her work that made me think she would be interested in and understand the character.
And did you guys know each other? Had you worked together?
No. I mean, I was a fan of Liza's movie Return, which I watched when I got the script, and I immediately wanted to work with her.
I was a fan of yours too. Just FYI.
I really like you.
I like you too.
Oh gosh, get a room. I'm Andy Borowitz in for Leonard Lopate, WNYC and WNYC.org, and I'm talking to Kristen Wiig and Liza Johnson. Their new movie, Hateship Loveship, is coming out tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Tomorrow at the IFC Center. So you had this screenplay and you thought of Kristen, and then it was submitted to you, Kristen. What was your reaction? Did you think, wow, this is going to be a huge leap for me to do something like this? Is it scary? Is it intimidating?
Yeah, I mean, it's always scary. I was really flattered that she thought of me, because when I read the script, I don't know if I would have thought of me. And it's certainly a character I've never read before or had the opportunity to play before. And I just thought it was a really beautiful story. And, you know, of course, like I was saying before, people probably know me best for doing more comedic stuff. So there is a little bit of that, oh gosh, is this going to...
Will people accept you
okay.
in a way?
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the character and who she is and without spoiling the story
for
us.
I never want to spoil it.
Well, it's a really absorbing story. And it was one of those movies where, you know, you're really sitting there wondering at what's going to happen next, which is kind of an unusual experience in the movies these days for me.
Yeah.
Tell a little bit about the character and your approach to playing her.
I really saw Johanna as someone who's lived a very sheltered life, in that she actually doesn't go out very much, and she is
a caretaker yeah.
and she's been taking care of this woman for since she was 15.
15.
Like that? Yeah. Thank you. What happens at the end? I never saw it. She takes care of this woman and doesn't really ever even ask herself what she would want out of life. And in the beginning of the movie, I'm not ruining this, the woman dies, and she takes a job with Nick Nolte's character, hires her to take care of his granddaughter, played by Hailee Steinfeld. And she's just kind of open to this new world. She lived in the same house for so many years, and now she's kind of being exposed to, you know, this guy, Sabitha's father, and she's starting to have feelings she's never had before. And I don't know if you want to add anything that's much better than how I described it.
I think that's a great way to describe it. And for me, the whole story was attractive because she really comes from this world where it doesn't do her any good to want things that she can't have. And then in a way, she benefits from a cruel trick that the girls do to her, because then she really experiences her own desire for the first time. And I was really attracted to the way that the character, once that happens to her, she just has to realize it. And I think it's interesting and beautiful to see the character forced to put herself at risk for her own desire.
The opening of the movie almost reminded me of the opening of Being There with Peter Sellers, where you have this completely mm-hmm. sort of tabula rasa. She's like, she has not emerged from into the real world as an adult. I mean, she's very childlike. And she suddenly has to make her way with absolutely no knowledge of how the world works, which I thought that as must be challenging as an actor to try to figure out what you have to draw on at that point, because you have to think of, what does Johanna even know about how the world works? How naive is she? How childlike is she?
Yeah, because she doesn't speak that much, and you are kind of watching her a lot of the time thinking, and you're kind of sort of wondering what her thoughts are and how she is seeing the world. And she's not dumb. She just is kind of inexperienced in life, and she's actually very, very smart.
I'm very flattered by that comparison, by the way. Being There is a
great
movie.
had that occurred to you at all when you were working on this, or was that just something I pulled out of thin air?
I hadn't thought of it, and I didn't go back and watch it again or anything, but a couple people mentioned it. Like when I was interviewing crew, someone made that comparison, and I was flattered by it at that time as well. So.
Well, it's great, because Kristen, as an actor, you have to kind of do a lot with a little, because you have very few spoken lines. I mean, it's a lot of very short yes ma'ams. You're very polite. You're very shy.
Yeah.
Did you find that a fun game to try to see how much you could get out of these little, you know, it's a very minimal script you're given. I mean, it's very underwritten in sort of an Alice Munro way.
Yeah, which I loved. I don't know. I feel like a lot of times in movies, there's so much that it's like space is being, it's like tried, it's, I don't know, I can't
like
really
between
explain.
The lines.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like they're trying to fill it all the time with either music or dialogue, and I really enjoyed, when I was reading it, it was a lot of stage direction and things like that, and I was excited to see how that was going to, you know, turn out.
Well, without spoiling all the plot twists, just to give the listeners some idea of what happens in this movie, you wind up moving to this other town to take care of this little girl, this Nick Nolte's granddaughter. And she has sort of a ne'er-do-well 12-step failing father who sort of says in passing, calls you gorgeous, says, thanks, gorgeous. And then he writes you a letter sort of thanking you for taking care of his granddaughter. And the girls decide to kind of intercept this correspondence between the two of you and start emailing you from a fake email address to try to cook up this romance. At this point in the movie, I started feeling terrible thoughts. This was going to be one of these Alice Munro stories that ends very badly. It's great because it does, you have this tremendous sense of dread in the story, which you, Liza, you just create, this tension that maybe this isn't going to be a happy Kristen Wiig movie. It's going to be kind of a sad story. Was that something you had to calibrate? Were you playing with the audience's fears that this is going to be a terribly tragic ending?
Sure. Yeah. And I think it is good. I think suspense is important to all stories, even though I don't think this is like a suspense thriller or anything.
No.
You know, and so I'm glad if you had that experience.
Well, it was gripping. I'm speaking with director Liza Johnson and Kristen Wiig, who stars in their new film Hateship Loveship, based on an Alice Munro story. It opens tomorrow at the IFC Center. That's at 323 6th Avenue at West 3rd Street, and we'll be back with more after a break. I'm Andy Borowitz in for Leonard Lopate at WNYC and WNYC.org, and I'm having a great time talking to Kristen Wiig and Liza Johnson about their new movie Hateship Loveship, based on Alice Munro short story, Hateship, Friendship, Courtship, Loveship, Marriage, and opens tomorrow at the IFC Center. So I want to discuss this, get back to this whole issue of being dramatic as opposed to being comedic, Kristen. It does have to be kind of a challenge in that you're so used to being on stage at Saturday Night Live and getting the laugh, and it's just a muscle that you've used a lot. Was it scary at all to be playing this more dramatic script and knowing that that wasn't necessarily something you had to fall, you didn't have that skill to fall back on scene to scene?
Yeah, I mean, it was a combination of a lot of things. It was very fulfilling for me. I really enjoyed playing this character that was so quiet, and like you said, that's actually what I say. It's a different muscle, because being at Saturday Night Live for so long, you get used to, your goal is to get a different reaction from people, and it was a little bit of a challenge. Probably more now that people are seeing it than when we shot it, because when you're shooting it, you're in it and you're doing it. And now it's, being released into the world, and that's when the nerves start. Okay.
Liza, would you find in working with Kristen that there it feels like the performance is very underplayed, and she's coming in under everything, which is great. Was that a first instinct, or would you have to work to sort of find that level where you're not going for the big laugh, and you're not. I mean, obviously, a lot of it is very serious. But did Kristen find that performance very easily, or was that something the two of you really had to collaborate on?
You know, the first time that we met each other, I feel like we really understood the character in the same way. And Kristen asked me all these really smart questions about what the movie would be like and how it would be lit and what would be the world of the film. And I really feel like from the very beginning, we just saw the film in the same way. And so, I mean, I would say we did come to it together, but it wasn't like a struggle, you know. And I think also in a way to honor the source material, you know, there is no Alice Munro melodrama. And she does amplify, I think, the feelings of everyday life, but it's still not like, it doesn't have a lot of the expected genre elements that we're used to in cinema, because she is a literary writer that cares about the inner life of everyday people. And I feel like that we felt like that this tone was the right way to do that. And I felt like that Kristen's work on that character and also all the other actors really seemed to understand that this was the kind of world that we were creating, and they were able to support each other in that register of performance.
Let's talk about the other characters, because you really put together an amazing cast here. It's great from top to bottom. How did that come together? Who did you find first, and what was the toughest role to cast?
Well, you know, I approached Kristen first, and I actually think that was really instrumental in bringing on the rest of that cast, who are all very skilled at their craft, you know, and I guess one thing that I love is the way that actors are such good observers of one another's work, you know, so as soon as Kristen and I met, we both thought that Guy Pearce would be the right person to play Ken, and he's a really close viewer of other actors, and he was really excited to work with Kristen because he can see her skills, you know, and that happened pretty consistently as I approached the rest of the cast, and I just... For example, I remember when I first met Jennifer Jason Leigh, she was like, "Oh my God, I love Kristen's work. It's so painful." You know, and I really think that, I mean, I'm sure it's not lost on any of those people that Kristen is also capable of being really very funny. You know what I mean? I know that they know that, but I think that there's a way that other people can see the soulful core of her work, right, and they were just attracted to work together the way that... I'm told if you play sports, you want to play with people who are as good as you. I feel like the rest of that cast was really magnetized by Kristen because they thought that it would get their game up to be with someone who was as talented as they are.
Right.
Well, we were very lucky to get, yeah, you know, yeah, like Nick Nolte, yeah, and Hailee Steinfeld and Christine Lott. I mean, everyone in the cast was so lucky.
Yeah, Nick Nolte is really great. He's playing
so
sort
great.
Of he's sort of playing Ernest Hemingway, playing this role. He's very... ornery, crusty, all those things. But he's wonderful, and Christine Lotti is really good. It's just
and
great.
I think they're lovely together.
I know,
yeah,
as their relationship is so sweet.
Yeah, they have about what, three scenes in the movie.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
but everything has its impact. Kristen, after Bridesmaids came out, were you just deluged with like every kind of broad, sort of gross out comedy? Where like people like rewriting buddy comedies to make them. Female and sort of throwing this stuff at you? Did you get into that sort of copycat Hollywood mania with the stuff you were seeing?
I think that, like, how do I answer this? yeah, I mean, I think kind of like what I was saying before of like people know you from what they know, and if they see me playing this kind of character, I mean, that happened after I did Knocked Up. I mean, I was getting roles of like, you know, for passive aggressive people that worked in an office building. I'm like, I just did that. But I understand it. I totally understand it. Coming from now, you know, I'm producing more movies and casting. If you're casting a character that's like a, you know, an ornery man, you think, okay, well, who is like that? And sometimes it's nice to step out of the box and think of people like, oh, what about this person would be really interesting for that? So, yes, I mean, I was offered a lot of those kinds of films, and I understand why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you've been very choosy. I mean, you haven't been throwing yourself into lots of big Hollywood stuff since that, which you could have.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like in like a rebellion in any way. It's really I just kind of boring answer. I just go by the script, and the scripts that I've really been attracted to since then have all been for the most part small films.
So what was the process like for this film? Did you have it's a small film? Did you have a short schedule to make it on, or did you have how much time did you have to rehearse? Because the scenes between the actors seem so well played, like everyone seems extremely comfortable with each other. How much rehearsal time did you have, or were you just kind of shot out of a cannon?
I would say closer to the canon end of the spectrum.
Yeah, we didn't really rehearse that much
no.
at all. I think we might have read through scenes one time.
Yeah, but I think what made it possible really was that the actors were so generous about talking to me about their character beforehand that it seemed like we could have a coherent world on a short schedule. And the other thing that really helped us is for whatever reason we had the fastest crew on Earth, and that was also very helpful.
Yeah. So how many weeks did you have to make it?
Four.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
That's
but it. But honestly, they were so fast, and the actors were so generous and confident that it was okay.
It's such a good feeling too when you've got such little time and little money, and everyone's just sort of like in it together, and everyone's so supportive, and just getting things done, and it's a nice vibe to have on set.
Kristen, I'm curious, what was the most dramatic role that you've had you know, from childhood on, what was the most dramatic role you had before this part? What was, if you had to like look at your dramatic acting resume, what would you say is the most?
Well, this is kind of the first.
Really is the first.
Yeah. I mean, I've done a couple since, but.
But when you were in plays and.
I wasn't really in
you
plays.
Weren't?
No. I started
what were you
this
doing?
Very late. I was wandering the earth with a backpack. No. Although I did do that for a little bit.
But, well, tell us a little bit about how you did get started, because I'm curious about that.
Yeah, I didn't do any acting when I was young at all. I mean, I was like a munchkin in The Wizard of Oz and just like stood in the back and just stared at the audience. I wasn't really like in character. I just did it because everyone else was in the play. I took an acting class in college because it was a requirement in my – I was a fine arts major and –
And you did the Groundlings.
I did the Groundlings. Mm-hmm. I moved to LA and did the Groundlings, and that was pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. How long were you with them before you went on Saturday Night Live?
Probably 6 years or so. Yeah, I'd just gotten into the main company, and a matter of months later, I got the audition for SNL.
Mm-hmm. There are some moments.
I'm not trained, is what I'm saying.
You're not trained. You're a savant.
Or, yeah, I'm just not trained.
There are some moments in this movie that are really, really funny. That sort of just jump out at you because the movie is very – it's very subdued and the things are happening sort of between the lines. But I'm thinking of the scene where you practice kissing in a mirror and you really go for it because this is something it's very poignant, but it's also really – funny. Is this something that when you've screened the film, it's gotten a big laugh? Or
yeah, and it was so. It's so eye-opening to watch a film with an audience because when we shot that, I remember we were like, "Oh, this is so sad. She's kissing herself in the mirror." And Liza and
but
I talked about how she kisses.
Yeah,
you know, just like it's like maybe she saw it in the movie or something. Just a lot of mouth, a lot of tongue action. I can see the humor in it, of course, in watching it, but. Yeah, it got a laugh at the screen.
I think,
but also people laugh when they're uncomfortable. So
yes.
I think it is funny, but also it's uncomfortable
because everyone's kissing themselves in the mirror, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, I'm not alone."
A lot of people have been coming out about that after they see that scene.
We've all done it.
Come well, it's on. A little bit. It is a bit of a relief laugh because also you're in the middle of this incredibly, what I find a very sort of poignant or painful, as the word is sometimes used to describe Kristen's work, a painful. Stretch of the film where you're wondering what's going to happen to this poor woman when you know this whole ruse gets exploded. But I think to me what's funny about it is just that it starts in sort of a poignant mode, but then you go for it in such a committed way that it becomes hilarious to me.
Yeah, I think she's really she's getting in there. I'll have to say it.
There also I like. A lot of the other, there are a lot of, you do so much physically in the movie that's great. Like when you, there's a beat in the movie where you get, you go to the mailbox to see if there's a letter that you think is from this guy and you get it. And then you sort of do this controlled run back to the house where you sort of, it's one of these things where you're running but appearing, trying to look nonchalant like you're not running. It's really just a hilarious
thing. I don't think she runs much.
No, she doesn't. So I'm just describing. I'm just describing all the hilarious visual things that are that really can't be translated over the radio because that's a really interesting thing to do.
And I'm nodding while you're doing.
You're nodding. Yeah. Yes, there's a lot of great visual stuff going on in the studio as well. This movie is coming out. It's going to be available on video on demand. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
So is that. All over the country? Or
yeah, and I love it. I grew up in a town that didn't have a cinema while I was growing up. Like, it shut during the year that Tron was on, and then the letters Tron stayed on there, like, throughout the 90s. But I think video on demand is so great because I think that the film can be interesting to a lot of different people who don't necessarily live in the markets where it's opening theatrically. So I feel really excited that anyone can see it on their cable provider or on iTunes or whatever.
Right. I'm curious, Kristen, now that you've done a dramatic role and it seems like a big breakthrough role for you, does this make you want to try more dramatic things you're just looking for the right role, the right material?
Yeah, I don't have a specific kind of thing that I want to do and the next I think three movies that I have coming out are a little more on the dramatic side.
Well, to tell me about those. I'm curious.
Well, I have a movie coming out in September called Skeleton Twins with Bill Hader, which is actually, I would say it's a, I don't want to call it a dark comedy, but there are comedic moments, but it's pretty much more dramatic. And this movie, Welcome to Me, is kind of the same way, dramatic undertones with some comedic moments. I'm excited.
So it sounds like you're veering more into dramatic stuff.
It's just been the scripts that I've read. I did want to try drama, and so I was being sent more of those things. But if I read a comedy that I really, really loved, I would love to do that. And Annie,
Anchorman 2 was funny.
Anchorman 2,
I saw that as a comedy.
That was a comedy. No, that was good. No, that was dramatic. Annie, my writing partner, and I, we wrote Bridesmaids together. We're writing right now.
Is that going to be more of a comedy?
It's drama. No, it's a comedy.
Are you allowed to say what that's about?
We're kind of talking about it.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Well, that went nowhere.
I'll mouth it to you, which is, again, great for radio.
Can you write it on a piece of paper? Yeah. And I'll look at it. Who are the actors? I'm just curious as to who your inspirations
were. You're
going to
ask me who my inspirations
are. Well, you get asked that a lot.
There's so many. It's so...
I'm curious to, first of all, know why, you know, you got a late start at this, as you said. What was the impetus to do that?
I think I've probably deep down always wanted to do it, but just, you know, I didn't grow up in a town that was... No one really did that, and so I just thought it was something people in New York and Hollywood did, and I just didn't really ever consider it. And I don't know. I took that class in college, and I liked it, but my teacher was very encouraging. It was like, oh, you should think about maybe doing this, and I had never crossed my mind, ever. And it just sort of happened. I went to L.A. and just started... You know, at the Groundlings, and just kind of happened.
What was your audition for Saturday Night Live like?
Terrifying. It was really terrifying because I don't do stand up or anything. So, being on stage by myself, with you know, exception of a few times I've done you know character monologues and stuff, was really terrifying. And you know, they say you have 5 minutes, and after 5 minutes, you got to go. I thought like the lights shut out, and you had to be like done in 5 minutes. And I just tried to squeeze in as many characters and voices as I could, and yeah, you're on the stage, the SNL stage, and Lauren and the producers and Tina are sort of like kind of in the dark, but you can see them there. It was very intimidating.
Do you remember what the characters were that you did for your audition?
I did Target Lady. Mm-hmm. I did there was a character I did an update called Aunt Linda that did like movie reviews. I did her. Oh my gosh, I think I did a Megan Mullally impression. oh my gosh, what else did I do? I did like this weird Russian baker that never made the show. I can't even remember the rest. Yeah.
What were the characters from Saturday Night Live? And we all have our favorite Kristen Wiig characters. Do you have any favorites? Are there people that you missed doing that you know you just love to do? Or
oh man, it's so hard to pick. I mean, I miss doing all of them. I really enjoyed doing Denise the singing character because it's so fun to have such a big cast on stage and everyone's there and it's just such a fun thing to do, and. This update character I did, Judy Grimes, that talked really fast and always said, just kidding, was really fun because I just had to talk fast and read things really fast. So it was like always challenging. I kind of miss doing that.
Liza, what was your journey as a filmmaker? How did you get started and what brought you to this point, to this amazing point where you're talking to me?
Which is amazing.
Which
That's
is
a
amazing.
Great question. It wasn't like I was a child and I was like, oh, I want to direct movies or whatever. But I went to art school and I always worked in film and video, but more like in the type of work that you would see more in a museum or an art gallery. And I started working with non-professional actors and it started to have a little bit more narrative. And at a certain point, I was just like, you know, if I'm going to expand these ideas, it's going to be longer. And if it's going to be longer, that would technically be a movie. So at that point, I started trying to... It's kind of a different world in some ways. There's a lot in common between art and film, I think. But in its kind of economic context and its exhibition venues, it's quite different. And so one thing that helped me a lot was I went to those labs at the Sundance Institute, and that really helped me sort of learn to speak a different language, and also introduced me to a lot of people who helped me understand this other world.
And tell me a little bit about the return, because that's what you're primarily known for until this movie, until Hate Ship Love Ship. How did that come together, and how did that lead you to this film?
That is a movie that I made about 2 or 3 years ago, which stars Linda Cardellini and Michael Shannon and John Slattery, and it's about a woman who comes back from her military deployment, and it's about the year in her life after that.
And that's kind of an unusual story, because that's usually something we hear from a male point of view. It's wasn't typical to see a woman in that role.
It is. I wish it were more common, because there are a lot of women who are coming back from their military deployment, and I feel like their stories are also very interesting. And so that was part of the interest for me, was to sort of feel that genre of that coming home from war movie in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways it directly brought this movie to me, because while I was editing it was when the screenwriter Mark Poirier brought me this script. So,
oh, okay, yeah. So it's the same screenwriter. Okay,
no,
I
wrote the first movie, and then
But
I don't know why Mark thought that I would be good at this movie. But while I was working on that film was when he brought me the script.
I see.
Yeah,
okay.
It's such a beautiful film.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And this is another great one. It's another, and it's really one of the best movies I've seen so far this year, and so I recommend it. I know.
Thank you.
And I've got to say, that carries a lot of clout.
It really does.
When I say like a movie. I've been speaking with director Liza Johnson and Kristen Wiig, who stars in their new film Hate Ship Love Ship, based on an Alice Munro story. It opens tomorrow at the IFC Center, and video on demand, I should add. So the IFC Center is at 323 6th Avenue at West 3rd Street. Liza, Kristen, thanks for joining us
today.
Thanks
for having us.
Thank you so much.